Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it is now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I. And this show is for you. Hi, I'm Dot Cannon. And for this website, I also like to use the pseudonym Noella Noelophile. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
I never really did much with wood until, I was probably in my 40s, and I saw a fellow making a bowl, doing a demo at a fair, and I thought, that looks really like fun, I would love to do that, and I did.
Woodworking artist J. Michael Evans uses both exotic and local types of wood to handcraft one-of-a-kind fine art bowls, platters, and winged bowls, and he also creates all kinds of custom gift items, including hand-turned wooden pens, which he sells through his small business, Ozark's Wooden Stuff. Michael, as he likes to be called, is a self-taught woodturner who's been working with wood for almost 20 years, according to his website. In addition, Michael and his wife Frida are musicians and performers who divide their time between Southern California and Branson, Missouri. Michael has two separate wood studios, one in California and one in Missouri, and exhibits his work for sale in both locations. Michael, how did you first discover your love for woodworking?
I've always loved the smell of wood. I remember when I was a kid, I went with my granddad to the sawmill, and he used to get a load of shavings from the sawmill to spread in the chicken houses. And then that was used to absorb the chicken manure, and then that was used to spread. He spread that in on his hay fields. But anyway, I love the smell of wood, and my dad and I used to do little projects in the workshop. And then I kind of forgot all about that until, and I never really did much with wood until, I was probably in my 40s, and I saw a fellow making a bowl, doing a demo at a fair. And I thought, that looks really like fun. I would love to do that. And I did.
And how did you go from that looks like fun, I'd love to do that, to having the small business you have, Ozark's Wooden Stuff, and to winning awards for your woodworking?
Well, yeah, that took about 20 years to develop. I saw this fellow making a bowl, and I thought, that's really fun. I'd like to do that. And I went and bought the least expensive lathe I could find and some cheap tools. And I just started playing with it, doing what I thought he was doing, you know, that fellow I saw at the fair. And I wasn't getting very far. So I met some people, and there was a local woodworking store not too far from where I live. And they had classes. They had one-day classes that they were offering. And I signed up for a one-day class on bowl making and learned the rudimentary techniques of making a bowl and then just started practicing. And then I spent about 15 years practicing before I got pretty good at it.
What was the catalyst from practicing and being satisfied finally with your work to saying, okay, I think I'm ready to exhibit this now?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know exactly what happened except that when I retired, or shortly before I retired, I'd been making bowls now for 15 years or so, and I had all my stuff displayed in my office, and a lot of people would admire my work and say, oh, you should sell these. And I said, no, I don't think so. Then it would become a job. And I didn't sell anything, I think, until after I retired. I gave bowls, you know, things that I had made away as Christmas gifts and birthday gifts and just because gifts, and after everybody in my family had all their shelves filled up with stuff, and then things were piling up at home, I finally decided that, again, this was after I retired, I finally decided to do my first craft show. I believe it was somewhere in Missouri. We lived part of the year in Missouri, and I did my first show and took my stuff there, and people seemed to like it. I didn't sell anything, but I had a good time. And then I joined a couple of woodworking clubs and got a lot of encouragement and a lot of advice from people that were doing this and doing shows and actually selling things. And, you know, it just kind of grew from there.
What I'm getting from your journey so far is that connecting with other people has been an essential for your artist journey.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've had some incredible friendships and incredible advice from some really nice folks in the two clubs that I belong to, one in Southern California and one in Missouri. There's a lot of talent in both of those groups, and I've got a lot of ideas and learned a lot of things. And then along the way, I've also met some incredible professional turners. People like Rudy Lopez came to our club in Missouri and did a demonstration. I took a 2-day class with him, and he was a great inspiration for me for some of the, what I call winged bowls, but they're not bowl shaped. They have, anyway, a winged bowl was kind of hard to describe. But people like him, like Molly Winton, I took a couple of days, 2-day class with a fellow named Trent Bosch, who is an incredible turner, and just got lots of advice and some inspiration and encouragement.
Let's take a look. And it's audio, so it's going to have to be in the imagination of our listeners, but I love your winged bowls, and I love that gorgeous round bowl that you have that is African wood. I'm never going to say it correctly, sapele or something like that?
Yeah, sapele.
Sapele. Would you tell me a little bit about the process of making these, please?
Sure. Basically, a bowl is, in general, is made from a part of a log from a tree. If you can imagine taking a section of log and then cutting that section in half down the middle lengthwise as the tree grows, and then taking that half of the log, turning it on its side, and then cutting a circle out, that's your basic bowl blank. And then that bowl blank gets mounted onto a lathe, and there's several ways to hold a wood on a lathe. But the lathe spins the wood, and you use some tools and shape it.
How did you first come up with the winged bowl? Because I've never seen anything like this before. It's a square bowl that looks almost like there's a tray underneath it, and it's quite a beautiful piece.
Well, thank you. The bowl part is in the center, but then you don't cut away the edges, so you use more of a log, or in some cases you try to use a crotch of a tree, so you get a nice crotch figure side of the bowl. And the bowl looks like it's growing, like it might be in two pieces, like you shove the bowl into a piece of wood, but it's actually all done with one piece, and it takes a little control. But I got the idea from the fellow I mentioned called Rudy Lopez. He came to our club and showed us a demo, and I thought that was so cool. And then he had a 2-day class after that where he got a chance to show us in person and work with him and learn how to make this, learn the techniques at least for making these bowls. And I spent all 4 or 5 years practicing after that.
I understand that you will never release a bowl until you're absolutely happy with it, or any other piece that you're making. What's the point for you that, okay, this is ready? What tells you I can't possibly improve on this one?
Well, you're right. I'm pretty particular about the product that I try to show. So it's ready when I think it is, I guess. You know, I do the best I can with my tools, and then things get sanded, and then there's an oil finish that goes on, and then the oil finish dries, and then you put another coat of oil on. I may end up putting 5 to 8 coats or more onto a bowl. Each of them has to dry, and then they get either wet sanded or cut with steel wool or lightly sanded in between coats. And then once you put the final coat on, that last coat, that oil has to cure for approximately a week, and then final rubbing and buffing. You know, and just spend enough time with it so I know it's going to look right.
Now, I'm not doing justice to your work at all if I don't talk a little bit about the other things you make. I met you by buying one of your gorgeous pens, which I absolutely love. It feels really good when I'm writing in my hand with the smoothness of the wood, but you also have a little bit of everything else. There are personalized rattles. There are Christmas ornaments, which I think are going to interest our listeners quite a lot, on my Christmas website. And I wish you'd tell me a little bit about something I haven't seen in your site yet. You've got pictures coming of some refrigerator magnets.
Oh, right. One of the reasons I have so many items is that I've been trying to find something, you know, that I think will sell at a craft show. Because I do the bowls, and some of them can end up being a little bit, you know, expensive on the expensive side. So I was trying to make some items that would appeal to people that were going to a craft show that maybe didn't want to spend $100 for a bowl or more. So That's when I started making pens and some other items. And the refrigerator magnets is kind of an offshoot of the pens, because when you make a pen, the blank starts out being 5 to 6 inches long. You may only use, four and a half inches of the piece of wood. Now you've got an exotic piece of wood that's left over that's maybe an inch long. So I saw in a magazine one time these little tiny rare earth magnets that you can embed in a piece of wood, and they'll stick on your refrigerator or whatever, and they're really strong, so you can hold your theater tickets onto your refrigerator or whatever. So I take these little tiny pieces of wood. Now, I never could throw them away, but now I have something to do with them. I shape them into different kinds of shapes. Might look like a pull knob or something, but they're a really nice little exotic wood pieces.
I can now personally recommend Michael's wooden magnets. After our pre-recorded phone conversation, I bought 3 of them for our refrigerators. I really like how they look. They're very warm looking for our kitchen. And as Michael says, they are strong enough to hold theater tickets or a 2 or 3 page document. Important consideration in our house as well. A certain feline, try as she might, has not yet succeeded in knocking them off our refrigerator door. They are definitely strong. You do an extremely cool thing in Branson, Missouri. Would you tell me a little bit about the show in which you participate?
Right. My wife and I did a show there called The Shepherd of the Hills. We did it for 3 years. It's an outdoor drama, and the show has been running now for over 50, or had been running at the point that we did it, for 50 years. The show actually closed last year, and they reopened again on a part-time basis. We're not doing the show now, but it's based on a novel that was written around the turn of the 20th century, and it's real exciting. It's got horses and outlaws and fights and a love story and some comedy. And anyway, it's an interesting show. And in the middle of it, they've got a live band that plays, and they get the audience involved in doing some square dances and some entertainment. And I was part of that bluegrass band, and my wife was the lead character in the show.
How much fun must that have been?
It was a lot of fun. They did the show during the summer and the early fall. It was about 6 months out of the year. So we ended up spending about half of the year in Branson and half of the year back here in Southern California.
How do you find that your work as a musician inspires you in your wood art and vice versa?
I don't know. I don't exactly correlate the two, but I've always had, I had this desire to express myself somehow, a little bit artistically, either in my music or later in my woodworking. So it's just an outlet from my artistic side. In my working life, I was an accountant. I spent 20 years being a controller or a CFO for distribution companies. So the music and now the woodwork is some, outlet for the other side of me.
It's funny, initially when you say accountant, I think, how different could that be? And then I'm thinking, well, no, not really. Numbers, music, rhythms, that all kind of goes together.
Right, it does. There's a lot of musicians who are also pretty good at math.
What have you considered one of your best creative challenges in your woodworking within the last, let's say, year or so?
I don't know. I've been working with some woods that I find, and people ask me where I get my woods. I find a lot of my wood in the neighborhood, or, I'll go around listening for the sound of chainsaws and see what kind of tree somebody's cutting down. So I've had a lot of challenges using woods that I've never used before, or trying to come up with different shapes, or trying to take a log and trying to figure out what to do with it. Whether I try to make a winged bowl or a bowl that has a natural edge from the bark side of the tree, or a traditional bowl. So every time I pick up a log and try to figure out what to do with it, it's a new challenge.
Let's give your website so people will be sure to check out what you have, especially your new refrigerator magnets and pens that you're going to be putting up. What was that website?
It's OzarksWoodenStuff.com, and it's wood-n-stuff.com.
OzarksWood-n-stuff.com. Michael, thank you for your time today.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you.
You and I have been listening to woodworking artist and musician J. Michael Evans, proprietor of Ozarks Wooden Stuff. You'll find the gallery of Michael's work, including Christmas ornaments, custom baby rattles, and fine art bowls, as well as all his gorgeous pens. on his website, ozarkswood-n-stuff.com. That's ozarkswood-n, the letter N, stuff.com. And if you're thinking of Secret Santa gifts or stocking stuffers, you might like to email and ask him about his refrigerator magnets, spinning tops, or his pens for a special Christmas gift. Once again, that's ozarkswood-n-stuff.com. And that concludes this edition of Noelophile. Thank you for listening. And may your Christmas season be crafted with love and glowing.